Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Big news, everybody. Big news. We have gone where nowhere, no one has gone before. We have invented something brand new. It's called the T-shirt. We invented it. We're the first ones to ever make it, and we have four of them. Four T-shirts.
And they say Catholic Man Show on them.
They say Catholic Man Show on them. This T-shirt idea is going to be big. Everybody's going to be wearing them.
And you can only get them for like the next 3 weeks.
At thecatholicmanshow.com. Trust me, this is going to be a big fad.
Don't be stupid and not get these.
You're going to wish you had one. If you don't get one, you'll regret it.
Hurry.
Warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. It's simple, really. You either want to grow in virtue and holiness, or you want to be a sissy, whiny baby. If you choose to move forward, grab your whiskey glass, because the Catholic Man Show is starting right now.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. Adam Minahan here, sitting with David Niles in studio with Juan at the buttons. What?
It's not my name anymore, bro. We just talked about this.
Oh.
I'm Don David.
Sorry.
Can't get no respect around here.
I actually thought that I said your name wrong. Like, I didn't say David Niles, which I've been doing that all day today. Is like thinking I said one thing and said something totally different.
Oh,
so
yeah?
I was like, oh no, I did that. So I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
Don David.
I'm going by that because I'm currently listening to the audiobook, The Mark of Zorro.
Oh, sweet.
Juan told me to listen to it. He said, it's really, really good.
Fun fact, The Mask of Zorro was one of my favorite movies for a brief time growing up.
Oh, I'm totally going to watch it when I'm done with the...
The Mask of Zorro?
Yeah.
Oh,
but the movie is The Mask. Yeah. Mm. So far, it's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. It is really good.
Dude, it's been a long time since I feel like that we've been
totally.
In the
I was
going
to say that.
Like, and it's without a guest... So mm-hmm.
Or even at all. I feel like I haven't been here in forever.
Well, even, yeah, but especially without a guest.
Right.
Because the last, like, I don't know, four or five.
I beat you.
So we're going to have beer this evening. We're going to have a beer that we're going to drink, brought to you by Juan Posada, our producer and best friend.
Don Juan Posada.
Don Juan Posada. He brought us a Founder's beer that is exclusively only been able, you're only able to buy
it. Wow, it smells good.
At the Foundry. He was at the Foundry coming back from vacation, and he bought us Mucho Lupo?
You, oh, you mean to open
Lupo.
This for you?
Like, Mucho Lupo.
I have one already.
It's part of their Mothership series. It's an IPA that's supposed to be extremely aromatic, and it's 7.1% alcohol.
It is very aromatic. The citrus is like from far away. I can still smell it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is going to be piney. You can tell.
It's going to be pretty good. But
I'm
again, you can only get it at Founders.
Yeah, I like what the back
this
says.
This one was brewed about 1 month ago.
Ultra limited.
I almost spilled.
Whoa, dude.
Careful.
That would be alcohol abuse. You know that?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do this. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers, cheers to Jesus.
Give a toast to Juan.
You give a toast to Juan.
Okay.
I'll give my own toast.
Yeah, Juan's in there. I'm going to give my own toast because I'm going to do way better than you guys. Juan, may your sainthood be as fruitful and pungent as the smell of this beer.
Cheers.
Cheers. I don't know if pungent was pungent. Actually, I don't think pungent was the right word.
It's like kind of one of those things
like,
that
it smells like bad.
When you're trying not to say something bad about it, it's like, it's pungent.
Mm. It's you a know, delicious
it's like
beer, though.
When you call something different, like,
that's different.
Different.
Yeah. That's what we get a lot of times whenever we...
I hope your sainthood is
different.
Pungent.
That's what we get a lot of times whenever we... When my parents ask, hey, what names are you thinking about naming the new baby? And we kind of throw a couple of names out there just to see.
Like Eusebius.
Yeah, like Eusebius, Athanasius. Yeah.
Right.
And we get their reaction, and they're like, well, that's one. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, that is one.
Yeah.
So, but they always follow it up with, well, have you thought about this name?
What about John? Or Bob.
So,
you don't meet any baby Roberts.
Oh, I do.
A baby? You know a baby named Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Dude, how's your vacay? You take a 6 weeks vacation in the summertime?
Yeah, yeah. We decided to extend it to 6 months this time.
Mm, very interesting.
You know, it just goes by so fast. But yeah. it was muy excelente. Mm-hmm. This episode brought to you by the language Espanol.
the actual language?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's like Sesame Street.
Nice. We're the Sesame Street of Catholic podcasts.
But yes, we have a cabin. It's built by my great uncle 80 years ago. It is an actual log cabin and is still standing from... What we can tell by looking at it, it's still structurally sound.
Does it feel damaged?
I mean, we still go there and sleep in the cabin, you know, like
right.
every year.
Mm-hmm.
It seems fine. It seems good. But it is 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Holding up, though, remarkably well for, I mean, it's just straight up log cabin. Like mm-hmm. the wood on the outside is the same beam as the wood on the inside. You know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. a log cabin.
Right.
Yeah. It's in northern Michigan. The weather up there is beautiful.
Especially in the summertime.
This time of year.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, in 6 months, the weather will not be so lovely unless you like ice fishing and a lot of snow.
Mm-hmm.
Like a nonstop snow.
Nice.
Yeah.
This last weekend, I went to the Midwest Family Conference.
Yes.
In Kansas, Wichita, Kansas.
You talked to our main man, Timmy Boy.
I did yeah. talk to Tim Staples briefly, but I got a chance to meet his wife, Valerie.
Lovely.
Which was great. He brought all of his kids with him, which was pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
See the whole Staples clan.
Mm-hmm.
Juan was there. A couple council members were there.
Don Juan,
sorry. Vincent and Kent were there. We got a chance to hang out with them and take a picture and all that kind of stuff. But I got a chance to talk to Father Donald Calloway.
Very cool.
Which is super cool.
Did you give him anything? Give him a present?
No.
That was a mistake.
Well, yeah, you're right.
You should have given him something.
Something, yeah. Yes. It's so funny, though, because people give him, like, so I was his, quote-unquote, speaker angel, which is what a speaker angel is just basically you're their assistant. You're their gopher boy.
Yeah.
You know, whatever they need, you have to go get. You pick them up from the airport. You drop them off. You, mm-hmm. you know, do all this kind of stuff. And so one of your main, like, what you're supposed to do for them is when they get from, when they're finished with their talk to get back to their booth, Your mission is to keep them from stopping.
Like you're sort of like the bodyguard.
Kind of the bodyguard. And mm-hmm. I apologize for him for being such a small bodyguard. I was like, sorry, dude. I'm not a very big bodyguard.
I'm feisty, though.
Yeah. But so, you know, he has to make a beeline back to the booth. If he stops, it's a huge mistake. Because
big
then
mistake,
it gets swarmed and everything. But as we're walking, people are like, here, here, here. And they, like, give him all these rosaries. He made out like a bandit with rosaries by the end of the conference. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I mean, how many rosaries
He says what he does is he keeps some of them to get, you know, and he gives away a couple, and then he gives some to his mom, and she uses a lot of them. So,
but so I think it is possible to own an inappropriate amount of rosaries. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. But I did get a chance to do a brief interview with him that that we were able to post on our Patreon, patreon.com.
Let me listen to it,
Catholic Man,
and then I'll interlace some commentary. Like maybe just some background one-liners.
Nice.
That'll make it seem like I was there.
You were there as well. I've already posted it. So
good one. Good one, Father. I've never thought about that.
But if you're a Patreon supporter.
Quotes like that. Those would be the kind of things I'd be saying.
Like a hype man.
Yeah.
But the audio is available at patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow.
Right,
so it was really cool. We talked about reparations.
A lot of that.
So
we could use more of it.
He nailed it on.
I really wish other people would start doing more reparations.
Not you, though.
Yeah.
He nailed it in his homily at Mass. Juan, what did you think? Yes. It was so
how so?
Good.
Do tell.
I mean, he talked about the importance of having of reparations, with especially for what's going on in the church. How we need our mother more now than ever. He has a new book coming out called "The Consecration to Saint Joseph," that comes out January 1st. And so he talked about the importance of Saint Joseph right now in the church, how we need Saint Joseph, not only in the church, but also in just the world, the secular world in general, because everything is such out of order.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Mm-hmm. And what do you do when things are out of order? You go to the Father, because the Father's the one who's supposed to order things, order your family.
Yep.
And he's the universal, he's the patron of the universal church.
Terror of demons.
That's my favorite one. The Terror of
that
Demons.
It's one of my favorite titles at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's better than the ones given to Jesus and Mary, you know, of course, but it's just pretty awesome.
But
tell the Alpha and Omega story.
Oh yeah, he flies everywhere, right? He's flying all the time. Yeah. So he's at
like on an airplane.
Yeah.
So he was
at the Delta Airlines, and you know, he's in his collar and everything like that, and the gal goes over the intercom and says, "Hey, we want to congratulate Sue and Jenny on their marriage that they're going to have. Everybody give a round of applause." And like, he was like, "Dang it. I'm not going to applaud," because it was, you know, a same-sex attraction marriage that they were, quote-unquote, marriage that they were. Sue and Jenny.
Right, yeah.
So he was like, "Okay, I don't want to go up there and talk to her about this, but I'm in my, you know, I have to do it. This is who I'm called to be." So he's like, "I have to do this. I have to take courage and do this. I don't want to, but I'm going to have to."
So he's going to go talk to the lady who made the announcement.
Yeah. So he's leaving the airplane.
That's something that you could easily just let go.
Right. So he goes over there and he says, "You know, I have an issue with this." And she goes, "Well, I represent Delta Airlines and we're okay with this." And he goes, "Well, I represent the Alpha and Omega and we're not."
Nice.
It was like a mic drop moment. It was awesome.
Oh, you're going to name drop?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be right back. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Mi amo Don David. I'm here with Adam Minahan. Don Juan is our producer man here in the studio with us. The thing, Adam, is that Don Adams sounds terrible. So, sorry, bro.
It's okay.
You don't get to be cool today.
That's all right.
You can be cool later, though.
Maybe. I'll just take that.
Yeah.
That's fine with
me. I mean, you admit it does sound bad.
It does bad. Yeah, it does sound bad.
It's like Don Adams. Like, no, I'm not gonna. I can't allow you to do that.
I don't blame you.
I might fight you. I mean, like, not you, but just hypothetically, if someone were to do that, some things you just can't allow. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Okay. The man gear for today.
It's nice that we're getting back to tradition.
Yeah.
For a while there, we were not...
Back to the familiar.
Yes. We weren't doing the drink gear topic. Because, you know, when we bring...
High caliber guests, you know?
Right.
You
when we bring guests in, a lot of times we record in the morning time and we want to talk to them extensively about a certain topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we don't drink a whole, you know, really...
we don't drink like a whole lot.
Well, I mean, we drink. You know. I
mean, a little bit. But.
Always.
We did have mimosas one time.
Yes, we did.
The mimosa was like brilliant. Somebody really thought about that. Like, hey guys, how can we drink in the morning?
Yeah.
We'll add orange juice. Yeah. That's because that's a breakfast thing, so it's fine.
Right.
It is funny because it's like, oh, you're drinking in the morning? Oh, it's a mimosa. Oh, yeah. Mimosa. It's like total free pass.
Right.
You know, as if that's not still drinking, but it is.
Right.
It's just funny.
Just like the Bailey's cream with coffee.
Yeah, I guess you can do that in the morning.
Yeah.
But Bailey's is so low in alcohol anyway, and then you dilute it. You know what I mean? It's really hard to get drunk on Bailey's. You know,
well, we wouldn't want to anyway.
Well, but that's the, you know, like, that's why you don't start drinking in the morning, because it can make for a bad day. But Bailey's is, you know, it's still alcohol.
Yeah.
It's got alcohol in it. But you see what I mean. You okay. See what I mean. What's the man gear today?
The man gear today is a Vatican flag.
The flag of the Vatican.
Yeah, that's a
pretty
cool,
epic.
We have a American flag in the studio. We do not have a Vatican flag. That's something that we definitely need to add to the studio.
So
stripes right here.
At our cabin, we have a flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a flag ceremony.
Nice.
Like, my mom did the, you know, she was a Cub Scout leader for a long time, so she knew the, you know, color guard, advance.
Right.
And raise the colors, that sort of stuff. So we did that. And we said the Pledge of Allegiance. And as we're saying it, I'm thinking, man, I haven't said this in forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird to sit there and say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. You know, I was thinking, I haven't done this in forever. And the last time I did it, I was probably a kid and didn't really think about what it was I was doing.
Or saying.
It was just kind of strange to be looking at the flag, the symbol of the country, and be pledging allegiance to the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's the whole purpose.
Like, I promise to be true to this country. That's kind of a serious thing to do.
No doubt.
Do they do that anymore in schools? I don't think they do.
My mom said she's a sixth and seventh grade teacher. She said they brought it back for one day, like a week, one day a week.
Okay.
So they're doing it one day a week.
Okay. All right. Well, that's better than none. We used to do it every day.
Every single day.
Every day. Pledge of Allegiance.
At the very beginning of the day.
That's right.
But yeah, the Vatican flag, that's the main gear today.
So the flag, like I said, symbol of a flag is a symbol of something. It represents a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And flying the flag is an important thing to do, not just in general, a flag. It used to be a strict naval law that every ship would be flown under colors. And it was such that even pirates wouldn't not fly the colors. And if your flag went down in battle, you know, it was one of the things that you had to almost drop what you're doing to go raise the colors again.
Mm-hmm. That's like the movie The Patriot, remember, with Mel Gibson?
Yeah,
and that's super historically accurate.
Exactly. I mean, it's basically a documentary.
Right.
Yeah. But there's a, you know, just this huge symbol. If the colors go down, all your soldiers might lose hope.
Right.
They
feel defeated.
Yeah,
feel
like they might think, oh, we're about to lose the war.
Right.
Or the battle. But you just got to keep the colors up.
Right. Do you think it's because it gives you something to unite together for? Like, it gives you something to stand, like, I'm part of this. This is something, it's a unifying symbol.
Yeah, I think so. So, it does. Like, I have an American flag outside the house.
Right.
In fact, we did an American flag not too long ago as the man gear.
You know what's funny about that? That episode, we never aired it.
We didn't?
No.
Why not?
I accidentally deleted it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so they don't know that we did an episode on that.
I don't think you told me that. Did you tell me that?
I did not. It was something that, like, it just happened, and then other things came up.
And how many times have I reprimanded you for the way that you handle files in general on the computer?
We're digressing. Let's the Vatican
how
flag.
You open old ones and then just like, oh, instead of you opening the template again, you just open the old one and delete it and save over it. You know, like how...
The Vatican flag. I accidentally deleted that
You, after this episode, you'll sit in timeout. How old are you?
33.
100 minutes.
Okay. The Vatican flag.
The Vatican flag. So having a flag and flying a flag says a lot about you. And it says, like, this is what we stand for. There's a couple things in my mind that should be taken with thought. One is, what is above your mantle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the fireplace is like the heart of the home. It should be the thing that you put right above the fireplace and on the mantle is a symbolic, it's a symbolic area, whether you know it or not, it is. So think about that. Also think about the colors that you fly, or if you fly them. American flag, great idea, especially if you're in America. America. Also, the Vatican flag would be awesome. I don't have one, but I want to get one.
I do too.
A couple things about the Vatican flag that make it unique.
Okay.
It's square.
Yeah, the official one is square.
It is not rectangle. It's a 1-to-1 ratio on the lengths of the side.
Which is interesting.
It is interesting. There's only one other official country that has a square flag, and that is Sweden. Before we started recording, we were reading the Wikipedia page of the Vatican flag. A fascinating, fascinating page. I recommend a perusing if you just have nothing else to do. It's interesting to read. The current Vatican flag has only been the flag since 1929. Pope Pius XI signed the Lateran Treaty with Italy, and that was actually what created the Vatican State as it is right now.
Which makes sense, right? Because that's it becomes its own country, then it needs its own flag.
Right. And it was modeled after the 1808 yellow and white flag of the earlier papal states. Okay, so it's got the yellow on the one side and then white on the other side. And the white side has the papal tiara and the keys.
But it wasn't always yellow and white, correct?
It was not always yellow and white. It used to be red.
And yellow.
And yellow. But the Pope at the time... It's in here somewhere.
Pius the 12th, I think?
No, that was the one who just did it. I think it may have been Pius the 9th.
Oh, okay.
Who ordered the changing of that in order to distinguish the Vatican army from those of the air, from the Italians who had been incorporated into Napoleon's army.
Because they were yellow and red.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's like, all right, no, we can't be having the same color.
I didn't realize Napoleon was yellow and red.
Yeah. But I guess. Or there was... That way it was very obvious. Yeah, it's very obvious who was who. What team are you on?
Okay.
And so the keys, there's the keys on there, which are also gold and silver or yellow and white. The gold represents heavenly authority and the silver represents earthly authority. This is the thing about flags and crests. Mm-hmm. You know that
it tells a story. I love
exactly.
It's like, yeah. I love the story behind it.
And so like we're saying a lot with this flag. It's like we're saying the church has not only heavenly authority, the authority of the Alpha and the Omega.
Right.
It also has authority over Delta.
Right.
Okay. And earthly powers.
Right.
And you know, that kind of could get us into a lot of other things about, you know, where does the authority versus the church versus the state, who's supposed to govern what. The church doesn't actually claim absolute authority over all governing authority. It actually says, no, we're here to govern the spiritual realm of the world and let the local governments govern other things. But that's not really what we're talking about. So get a flag, order one and fly it. It's also super awesome when you see someone flying the Vatican flag.
The Apollo story.
Apollo 11 was they took a Vatican flag to the moon,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
Vatican flag to the moon.
She has authority at the moon.
Yes,
in the universe.
Well, if it represents God and their church and his church, then
I'm guessing that the Vatican is the only country that claims authority over the entire universe.
I don't know if it claims that.
It does. Well, I don't know. The
Vatican. I don't know.
She should.
Whether they know it or not.
Right.
But this is going to bleed in perfectly to our topic today, because I'm actually kind of excited about our topic, because we're going to talk about, I like to call it Catholic dad hacks. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, we're bringing the faith into the home. How do we, you know, how do we do that? How do we bring the faith into the home for our family, for our kids?
Yeah.
You know, make it kind of fun and cool and not, like, weird. You don't want to do it weird, like, in a weird way. So, go get a Vatican flag. That's a great way to bring your faith into the home. We'll be right back. I'm Adam Minahan. You're Don David. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Drinking on a IPA from Founders, their Mothership series. Juan brought it to us. Very good. It has the aroma is crazy when you pour it in. It's like wow.
Just opening the beer, I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah, the mosaic hops really pow in
your
face.
Is that what's in here? What's in here?
Yeah, it's a mixture of several hops. I think it's four hops.
I dig the mosaic hops.
Me too.
I dig them.
Me too. The taste is really good. It's not as strong flavor-wise as what the aroma is, in my opinion. Do you guys agree?
I agree, or
disagree?
I said that very thing.
It's a great beer, though. We just got done talking about the Vatican flag. And
speaking of Mothership, this is also another great idea. I did this. And I think that, guys, you should do this too. When we got a van, I just Googled Mothership bumper sticker, and I didn't tell my wife about it, and I found this sticker for the window. It just says the Mothership, and I just put it on there. I didn't say anything about it.
Which is a bold move.
Yeah. But she thought it was really funny, and so now the van, it's the Mothership.
The Mothership.
Yeah. So we have the Mothership, and then we have this stroller that you can push three kids around in. It's like, it's a pretty sweet stroller. I call that the Command Center.
Nice.
Yeah.
The Command Center.
Also, I recommend having sweet names for the stuff that you have.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Way to go.
My car's Echo Base.
Echo Base.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I like that. So our topic today, I'm really excited about this topic because it is a topic that is not super philosophical or like deep.
Good.
Yeah.
Your strong suit.
Which is like good because it's not my strong suit. But it's more practical. It's like ways of passing on the faith to your kids in a cool way. Like before the break, I said not in a weird way. I think you know what I mean by that, right, Dave? You know the dads who like really try to push the faith in specific instances where it's like, listen, bro, we're just throwing the football. You know, you don't have to throw out the history behind it and how it links to some way of the faith.
Yeah, and it's not the stuff that you do necessarily. Often it's the execution. It's the way you do it, you know, that makes it weird.
Mm-hmm.
I think very often it kind of gets weird when you try to force pious behaviors.
Right.
Okay, so if you're not doing them out of a sense of piety, like real piety, and actual love of Jesus and his church and desire to pass something good onto your children. And I think if you try to force it, then it can get weird, especially when your kids get a little bit older.
Right.
You know, our kids are young, and so they don't have that social weirdness.
There's a lot of room for error.
Right. They're not going to be like, Dad, you're embarrassing me.
Right.
You know,
because we're still super cool
at 4 years old. Right.
We're super, like, and they don't very
even,
cool.
They don't even know to be embarrassed. I mean, if they're going to be embarrassed, it's not because of stuff I'm doing.
Right.
Okay. Like, you wore Christmas socks today.
Right. Yeah.
And it's July.
Right.
That's embarrassing.
So I have 15 things.
It's August. It's not July. It's August.
It's August now. But I have 15 things.
You do?
Yeah, but we're not going to be able to go through
a lot of things. That's a lot of things.
Well, this whole topic.
How are they ordered? How are they arranged?
the way I would like them.
Hierarchical?
No, the way I want them.
Hierarchical.
This topic, though, I have given a lot of thought to because I'm in the process of potentially...
Maybe.
Potentially writing a book.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically speaking, writing a book. And this is kind of in the realm of this book. So, do you want to go first or do you want me to?
Well, I can't read your list.
No. I want you to know, like, you come up with what you do at your house.
Oh, about Catholic dad hack stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we do memory work.
Okay, explain.
And really, this is not so much a dad thing as much as it is just a home life thing, because really my wife is the one who does this most of the time. Like, she works on it, mm-hmm. and then the kids will kind of perform for me at dinner. You know, they like to show off what they can do.
Right.
And so... she has this memory box, and I really actually love this because our girls, our oldest is 4, the next is 2.5, and we have a 1-year-old, but she can't recite any poetry yet, okay?
She's close. She's getting there.
Right. She's getting there.
Right.
We're still working on our Latin conjugations.
Right.
But the other girls can quote several poems. I would bet they can quote a lot more poetry than the average adult. Even though it's children's poetry,
sure.
That's okay, because they're children.
Right.
So in the midst of, like, she'll do some poetry, like, How to Catch a Fish, or Ooey Gooey. Mm-hmm. Ooey Gooey was a worm, a mighty worm was he. He crawled up on the railroad tracks, the train he did not see. So Ooey Gooey.
That was a good one.
Yeah, actually we got that from Andrew Pudua.
Nice.
It was on his website. But also she puts in Bible verses. And puts them to, like, she'll just make up a tune.
Mm-hmm.
Always make up a tune if you're trying to memorize something.
Absolutely.
Always. You'll memorize it twice as fast.
Right. And that kind
so,
of,
but this oh. dad hack.
Right.
Our kids are learning important scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not just, like, opening up randomly the Bible. We're picking good, you know, like, important ones to know.
Well, that's, to piggyback off of that, my boys have memorized all of the books of the Bible up until... all of the Old Testament and halfway through the New Testament.
I was
right
wondering
now.
How that was going, what your progress was.
We have all the Old Testament down, which is the toughest part. It's the longest, and it has the craziest names,
mm-hmm.
Which is tough to teach, you know, your boys, you know, Zephaniah, Zechariah, you know, all these crazy mm-hmm. Habakkuk, mm-hmm. you know, Haggai, you know, all these like crazy.
Habakkuk, is that how you say it?
That's
Habakkuk?
I say Habakkuk. Yeah.
I have no idea.
So... my dad actually taught us all the books of the Bible to memorize them.
Yeah.
And it was a game. What he did was he said, okay, at the end of the night, he said, we're going to memorize 5 of them. And we memorized 5. And then the next night, we're going to memorize the next 5. But before you can memorize the next 5, you have to recite the 5 before. Well, if you have a bunch of kids, it now becomes a game.
Mm-hmm.
Who can remember it?
Yeah.
And so we just kind of made up a song. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers.
It doesn't have to be like a beautiful melody. Just
right.
Any tonation
right.
becomes because you start using a different part of your brain for right. the memory.
But it was such a huge help for me later on because what happens is when you memorize things early, especially with a tune, you don't have to recite it forever, you know, for months, years and years. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, I know this. And you can recite it word for word.
Yeah, like there's all these children's songs. I remember my mom playing in the car when I was 5 and 6.
Right.
I can still sing a lot of them.
Right. And so it was a huge help for me that my dad taught me that growing up, because mm-hmm. when you're at a Bible study or something like that, and they're like, okay, we're going to go to, you know,
Jeremiah.
And you're like, okay, is Jeremiah in the New Testament or Old Testament? And what part of the Old Testament,
right.
you know, like
how early in the song is it? It should be about right here. Yeah.
Right. And so you have this, you know, this confidence in being around other people, like talking about your faith, which I think is very important. You need to have a little bit of confidence in your faith around other people.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, memorizing the Bible, the books of the Bible in order is one that we do with our kids. Yeah. And it's working very well.
We're working on Twinkle Twinkle Little Star in Latin right now.
Ooh.
Mica Mica Parva Stella Mira Quenam Sistam Bella.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to go to the next one?
Yeah, we're starting. No, what's on... let's do your list.
Okay. The next one I have is celebrating the baptism day.
Yes.
Instead, like...
I do that. I get my girls flowers on their baptism day.
It's important to celebrate your birthday, naturally. I mean, that. Mm-hmm. But how much more important is it to celebrate your baptism day?
Totally.
And knowing what your baptism day is.
Mm-hmm.
June 22nd, 1986 for me. So, I mean, like, and it makes it a big deal. Like, hey, you know, this is when you became part of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
The sacraments are extremely important. And we're going to reflect, that's going to be a reflection within our home mm-hmm. that they are very important. So we're going to celebrate it.
Yeah. And likewise, their feast days. So the feast days of a saint who has is their namesake.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Elizabeth.
Colby is Maximilian Colby is coming up. I was trying to remember because we're starting a novena tomorrow. And I don't remember if it's Bernadette or Colby, but
okay,
it's one of those.
Mm-hmm.
In about
okay, so that piggybacks
and so
on
we do the
one.
Same thing for on their feast days.
Oh man, we only have 2 minutes. Okay, so that piggybacks on another one though is have it like declare a family patron saint.
Yeah,
so that way your family can have a saint to pray to all together in unison. Mm-hmm. So Saint Gerard is ours. When Haley and I got were married, we were told like we're gonna have extremely tough time having kids. We may not even have the opportunity to have kids. Saint Gerard is the patron saint of expectant mothers, so that was like we said, okay, if it's God's will, that's fine. But we're gonna start praying to Saint Gerard, and you know we have 5 kids.
Yeah,
you know, one's in heaven, and we have the fourth on the way, or the fifth on the way, and so Saint Gerard is our patron family saint.
Mm-hmm. And you don't pray to him as a joke.
No, because
it's serious stuff.
He answers prayers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's another important one is like, let's have a family patron saint.
It's a great idea.
Do you guys have one?
We do not have an official patron saint for our family.
Okay.
I think it would be my wife. She would be the patron saint of our family.
Okay.
I'd like to dedicate this episode to my wife. Pamela, you're beautiful and I love you.
Another one that I can do pretty quick is the family rosary. Everybody talks about how do you pray the family rosary where it's, you know, how do you get your kids involved? How do we do it? Especially if it's like, I don't know how to pray the family. Like, I don't know how to pray the rosary very well. I'm the leader of the family. How do we do this? We use a wall rosary and those big, gigantic rosaries that you can find online or in your local Catholic book and gift store. And whoever is leading the rosary gets to hold the big wall rosary.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
And so that, like, if you have younger kids, they feel like, yes, I get to have the big rosary as I'm leading the rosary. And it gives them something like the sense of, I'm a part of this. I'm doing, you know, I'm the leader of this with the big rosary. That's an easy one. But
totally.
I think it's a good way to just incorporate the rosary into your family.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get back, we're going to continue this list. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm Don David. Lord of the family of Niles. Here with Adam Minahan. Lowly father.
I'll take it. I'm good with that.
And of course, Don Juan.
Yes.
Need I say more?
Your next Catholic hack.
Okay, so this is a combination of things. My wife's family, after the prayer before meals, you bless the soul, Lord. They would always say, and bless the cooks. They just throw that in at the end. And then one day we found out in Wichita, it's a thing to say, bless the bishop at the end of the prayer. And so we do both. So we say the prayer, these are gifts for baptism, the baptism of Christ our Lord. Amen. Bless the cooks and the bishop. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it just, I don't know why, but it feels right
mm-hmm.
to every meal. Pray for the bishop. We should be praying for our bishops.
No doubt. No doubt we should.
And this is a really good way to just build it in.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get back to, and I say this about myself, viewing the bishop as our father.
Mm-hmm.
You know that it's almost through him that we are saved. Because he is the one who brings the authority to us. You know, all of the priests, they celebrate and exercise their authority through him.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bishop is, he has the fullness of the priesthood, you know, and he is the authority. He's our apostle.
Right.
And so it is really through the bishop that we have our salvation in a direct way or indirect way, in a local way. A local way.
Let's go geography.
I want to avoid philosophical terms. In a local way.
It's interesting that you keep bringing up hacks that like piggyback off of one of mine, uh-huh. which was invite a priest to dinner.
Yeah.
Because in the importance of keeping, you know, having a priest in your house, you know, for dinner and getting your kids familiar with just being around priests and like, hey, he's your father as well. He's your spiritual father.
Yeah.
So we should invite him over to have dinner. And that's something I think that a lot of people don't even think about doing. They don't think about having their priest over for dinner. Priests like to eat too. They're big fans of eating.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, the polls said they're pro eating.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a good idea to invite your priest over. You get to have a chance to just have a meal with him, talk to him, hang out with him. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I remember growing up is when we were in our small faith groups, we had now Monsignor Gallus over, and he opened the floor and said, hey, if you guys could change anything about the way we do things in our parish.
I remember this.
He said, what would you guys do?
We want bells.
Yeah, and it's so funny because when we were little, we had no idea. You know, we didn't have any idea what the liturgical things that we were saying, like the liturgical landscape right. that we were going on.
Yeah.
But I was like, I want the cross, you know, the crucifix coming down the aisle when the priest comes in. And I want, you know, and you said, yeah, and I want the bells. And like, there's a couple other people that said a couple things, and like, it turned out, like...
We did all that stuff. Did we not have the cross coming down?
We did not have the crucifix coming down.
Really?
No, we did not.
Are you allowed to not do that?
Yeah, there's a lot of parishes that don't do that.
Weak. It's weak.
So anyway, it was such a cool opportunity. You know, there's some priests that listen to this, to our show, that support our show. And so like...
Yeah, I remember him saying like, well, do you think people would know what to do with the bells? And we all go, yeah, you just tell them.
Yeah. Just tell them.
They'll do it.
Yeah.
And then we had it like within a week or two, we had bells at Mass.
Right. A lot of the things that we suggested... To our priest.
It's pretty sweet.
Okay, so anyway.
But all of these hacks, they're all attempting to do something, and that is create a culture of Catholicism in the house.
Right.
That is what they're all doing. It's like, hey, here's a neat way to bring an aspect so that it's like we want to eat, breathe, sleep the faith.
Mm-hmm.
We want it for our children and for ourselves. It's not just for our children. Mm-hmm. It's for us, too. So even if you don't have kids, this is not just for them. It's right. for you.
Right. Because a lot of it's about teaching virtue to our kids.
Yeah.
How are we teaching virtue? You know, we have to be virtuous in order to give the virtue to our kids. We have to be the virtuous men in order to pass on the virtue to our kids. So how are we doing that? How are we implementing virtue within our family?
Yeah. So another thing that we did, once again, this came from my wife. I might be in charge, but she's the reason why our family's
she's
holy.
The idea.
Okay,
right.
This in our family, it's sort of like Jesus is dead, Peter's in charge, but Mary's still there. You know, and he's going like,
"Hey,
thanks
man.
For making everything so great."
Yeah,
you know, like that idea you gave me the other day that worked out really good.
Right,
you know,
speaking in tongues, I did that.
Right. Yeah.
thank you, Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah. Hey, Mary, thanks for telling me that great idea.
Yeah.
But one day or one year for Lent, my wife. Pamela decided she wanted to sanctify her language that she used. And she came up with a few things.
Which we all can relate to.
Right. And so we no longer, she said, I'm not going to say going to church or going to Mass. I'm going to Holy Mass.
That's what we say too.
Yeah.
Anna says Holy Mass. It's so funny. We going to Holy Mass?
Yeah.
She's 2 years old.
That's what our kids do. They don't know that it's, you could even say Mass.
Right.
It's Holy Mass. Holy Mass. Or we're going to Holy Adoration or whole, like putting the word holy before these specific things with the church so that they know this is holy.
Right.
What is
like, words have meanings.
Right. Exactly. And so now they know what it means to be holy and what things are holy and kind of, I mean, you know, that it's sort of just like a subconscious.
Right.
That's really what we want. We want the subconscious understanding
right.
of
the,
things.
The habitual thing that. It,
right.
Like,
so that almost like they cannot imagine things to be any other way.
Right.
This is the way things are.
Let me give you another one.
Yeah.
To help with the virtue of generosity, which is super hard for kids.
Yeah.
Before.
And me.
And you, especially you. Before birthdays or Christmas, have your kids pick out four of their favorite, whatever the arbitrary number is, four or five of their favorite toys to give away.
Yeah, I would never do that. I could do that.
But right before their birthday, you know, the day before their birthday, say, okay, it's your birthday. You're going to be receiving presents, which I have an issue with the amount of toys that kids have in general. Anyway, I don't think they need that many. That's a whole side topic. But you're going to be receiving a lot
of
toys.
Tell me about it. It's like, where did all these toys come from?
Right, it's ridiculous.
They don't even fit in the basket.
You don't even play with half of them.
Right.
So it's like, I want you to pick your favorite ones, and we're going to go donate it to somebody who doesn't have toys.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be receiving new toys for your birthday or Christmas or whatever the occasion is. So let's make sure that we have that we share with the less fortunate. That's a great one, I think. Yeah. Don't you?
Yeah, no, I do. I think it's great for other people.
It's great for other people.
You don't understand. I have drawers full of T-shirts that I think I need. Does this happen to you? I'll go through
my
T-shirt drawer, and it's like, I have not worn this shirt in years, but nope. I think I should hang on to this one.
Nope. Every year I go through my closet, and if I didn't wear it that year, I give it away. So
I don't know. It's like something wrong with me or something. But
let's go another one. Let's do the prayer board. This is something that I'm in the process of making.
A prayer board.
Yeah.
Is
so
this like for spanking.
This is for your family. Like everybody has prayers that they want everybody to be praying for.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is you create a wooden board that you have, however big you want to do it, that you can put in front of like in the kitchen or something that everybody can see. And all you do is you have a board, and then you put clothespins on the board. And then that way, any family member at any point in time can write their prayer request and put it on the clothespin. And that way everybody knows that, you know, Luke wants us to pray for whatever. Jude has this prayer intention. Anna wants this prayer. So that way we can be praying for it, and it's visible in front of our families at all times, so we can have something that we're praying for and helping each other as a family.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that one?
I think it's a great idea. Learning to pray with each other.
Right.
Another thing that I do is I, once a month, well, the first, I just picked a day. The first, I have adoration on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
At 5 o'clock, the first Monday of the month, I always take one of the kids with me, and I just rotate. You know, it's kind of like a date with dad in adoration. And I think that's a really good thing to do. And you know, we have to, for a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old to go to adoration, you have to just you don't expect them to sit there in silence. You know, so we have books, you know, that they'll read, and they'll color. You know, I mean, really, it's just about them staying quiet,
right,
and kind of maintaining reverent behavior. But bringing them with you to adoration shows them this is important, and they learn the protocol, you know, to bow when you go in, and
right, genuflect,
you know, right. Yeah, that's another thing that I really like to do.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I have is mom missions.
Mm.
You like mom missions?
Yeah.
Like that? So what mom missions are? I was trying to figure out a way to have my boys help my mom, help their mom. And like give themselves up and do something hard for their mother.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, okay, well, we burn wood, you know, we burn firewood every year. We got to go find wood, chop it up, and stack it. So we're going to go on a mom mission because our family needs firewood for the winter. Mom needs the firewood to keep the house warm. So we're going to go out and go on a mom mission, which is we're going to go find wood. We're going to get it chopped up. We're going to stack it all and get it ready. So you can do things with mom missions as small as, like, we're going to go mow the yard, and we're going to take pride in our work and have dignity in finishing and completing their work. And so that way we can do it for our mother. And it's a way of honoring. Like we go back to, like, what is, you know, the dignity? What is being able to reverence somebody, you know, and it's for like honor, you know, to give honor to somebody. And so we do these regular chores or regular errands or whatever it is throughout our family. And we do it for their mother. So it's a mom mission.
Another one is pray the Hail Mary when you hear the sirens, ambulance.
Yes.
We did that one time, and now our daughters, every time they hear a siren, boom, we got to pray. You know, it teaches them to empathize and to pray for people in need. I mean, it's kind of, might sound cheesy, but it's not. It's good.
It works.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.